This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And let's begin today with marijuana and the conflict between state and federal laws. Back in 2012, Massachusetts citizens overwhelmingly approved a medical marijuana law, and the state's first dispensary is expected to open in Salem later this month.
The law allows people with a doctor's prescription to legally buy and consume marijuana. Or does it?
Consider the case of Christina Barbuto, a 34-year-old woman from Brewster, Mass. She has a doctor's certificate for marijuana to help treat her digestive disorders, including Crohn's disease. But last year, she accepted a new marketing job, and on her first day of work, she failed a drug test and was fired.
The company, Advantage Sales and Marketing, says it follows federal law, and under that, marijuana is still illegal. So now Christina Barbuto is filing suit with the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination.
It's believed to be the first case of its kind in the state. In a moment, we'll hear from a legal expert who's looked closely at the state's medical marijuana law and others around the country.
But first, let's hear from Christina Barbuto, who spoke with us earlier today.
Well, Christina Barbuto, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So when you applied for your job at Advantage Sales and Marketing this past September, did you disclose to them that you used marijuana for medical purposes?
Yes. Getting the job was contingent upon passing a drug test, and I disclosed that's going to show up in my system. I said, you know, I just want to make sure that that's okay because I do have the prescription, I do have the license and all that, and it will show up on the test, so I just wanted to make sure that it's okay.
Well, what did they tell you? What was their reaction?
His reaction was, it should be no big deal as long as you have the license and you're all set.
So you came into work, and then what happened?
I actually went through a training session. I live in Cape Cod, and I went all the way to Taunton. So, you know, I got a uniform. I had to have the uniform tailored to fit me, and they gave me all this. They gave me a whole list of dates that I was going to be doing, and after that, they said, you know, once you go through this program, you'll advance to another program. So I was pretty excited, and then I did have my first shift, and then after the shift, I got the call saying the marijuana showed up in my drug test, and I said, I know, I'm aware, and I disclosed to someone at the beginning that it would show up, and that, you know, I wondered if it was going to be a problem, and they said it wouldn't be, and this woman said, well, we follow federal law, not state law, so you're fired.
And that must have been shocking.
Well, yes. And I had a bunch of questions for this woman. And I said, you know, well, who makes this decision? You know, I'm giving you the explanation as to why I have this. It's for a reason. I have a debilitating disease.
So, well, tell me why you do take marijuana for medical reasons. Why do you use it?
Well, I have Crohn's disease. I also have irritable bowel and ulcerative colitis. So I have all that stuff going on. And, the GI stuff. As far as my use, it actually is kind of funny because I don't use it that often. And I don't use it for the typical user's reasons. I don't particularly enjoy it at all. I use it very little. There's good weeks and bad weeks. I have Crohn's disease in a different way. I don't get very hungry. I have very little appetite. I use it to get hungry. When I do use it, I use a very tiny little bit.
And does it help?
It does help, yeah. Yes.
Now, as you mentioned, Advantage Sales and Marketing said that they followed federal law, and under the federal law, the Controlled Substance Act, it's still illegal to smoke marijuana. Don't they have a point, or what's your response to that?
Well, my point is, in Massachusetts, they did pass the law for medicinal marijuana use, and I work in Massachusetts, I live in Massachusetts, and they're company is in Massachusetts, so they should be following the laws of Massachusetts. If they're going to have a company here with employees here, we need to follow the laws here.
Has this ever been a problem for you in the workplace in the past? Have you ever dealt with this?
No.
So in the past,
I've never been given a drug test for.
I see. And does it make it difficult for you at all to do the work?
No. I mean, I don't use when I'm working. I would never use it when I was going to a job. It's primarily just for when I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
It's kind of just put a fear in me to apply to other places because I'm nervous that this is going to be brought up again and I'm going to have the same problem. So
Christina, you're filing a complaint with the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination. What are you hoping this case accomplishes? I mean, obviously, I gather you'd like to get your job back.
Not particularly this job, but I hope that it brings on a little bit of awareness to other people, to other companies, that you know, there are more of us out there that are just trying to get a job or just trying to make a living. There's kind of a stigma on this marijuana that it's only used for negative reasons. And it's just not the case anymore. I mean, it's so gray. All the laws around that are just so gray. And it's time to kind of move forward with it and really, you know, open people's eyes about what it's really used for.
I want to just ask you this finally. You told the Boston Globe that in filing this case, you don't want people to go through this and to be humiliated. Is that how this made you feel at the end of the day?
Yeah, once I got that phone call, I did. It was kind of like, you know, everything that I was excited for was just kind of crushed. And it was kind of embarrassing, you know, to tell people like, oh, I just got this great job and now I don't have it because of this reason. So yeah, it was a little humiliating, sure.
Well, Christina Barbuto, thank you for coming in. We're very grateful.
Thank you very much for having me.
And that was Christina Barbuto, who's filing a complaint with the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination because her employer fired her for using medical marijuana. Listeners, we're going to spend a little time talking about this now, and we want to hear from you. Have you had to deal with medical marijuana in the workplace, either as an employer or as an employee? Should medical pot users be protected by state laws? And if you believe that, then what about federal law? You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And I want to introduce now Professor Cabrina Chang. She's a clinical associate professor of business law and ethics at Boston University, who's been thinking a lot about how employers handle medical marijuana. And Professor Chang, thanks for coming in. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to mention that we did reach out to the company that fired Christina Barbuto, Advantage Sales and Marketing. They did not respond. We mentioned that they did tell the Boston Globe that the reason they fired Christina Barbuto was because they follow federal law. So let me just start, Cabrina Chang, if I could, with just your reaction to Christina Barbuto's story.
I'm not surprised.
You're not surprised?
No, I'm not. Massachusetts does have a medical marijuana law, and many other states do, about 23 states do. But the litigation thus far have been people just like Christina Barbuto. They're conscientious employees. They're good employees. They don't come to work under the influence. They have no intention of using or smoking or inhaling or however they're going to use, however they're going to medicate at work. Many of the plaintiffs are very similar. So I'm not surprised because there are actually very few laws in the country that take into consideration the impact of medical marijuana use at work.
Well, what does the Massachusetts medical marijuana law actually say about this? Because I'm just reading a statement here. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a long page, but I'm going to pick and choose a couple of lines here and there from Christina Barbuto's attorneys, Adam Fine and Matthew Fogelman. One of the things they say, this case is about one thing and one thing only. Advantage Sales discriminated against Ms. Barbuto because of her medical condition, plain and simple. And later on in the statement, we would like to know how many employees at Advantage Sales are taking some type of prescription medication, including but not limited to drugs for diabetes, insulin, heart disease, anxiety, depression, insomnia, and the like. None of these people have been fired. So what does that sound like to you? Does it sound like a case with legs?
Well, it sounds like a couple of things. First, I know they're trying to make a disability claim for Ms. Barbuto's Crohn's disease, which is an important, you know, an important legal claim to make.
Yeah.
The issue, of course, is to address her Crohn's disease. She uses medical marijuana and has tested positive at work for that. So there have been other plaintiffs in other states who have made a very similar argument that I have this disability and I can do the essential functions of the job with a reasonable accommodation, and that reasonable accommodation is to be exempt from drug testing or your drug-free policy.
Yeah.
That has not been a persuasive or successful argument.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, so the list of, you know, they want to know other employees who take drugs for diabetes or heart disease. You know, that's a reference to other types of physical impairments for which you can take medication. Of course, the distinction is, and I am not a medical expert at all, but my assumption is many of those drugs don't create cognitive impairment, or to the extent that they do, it's minimal.
And I guess the key thing is many of those drugs, too, aren't illegal under federal statute.
Well, so there's that.
Yeah.
You know, under the Federal Controlled Substances Act, marijuana is still a Schedule I drug, and that hasn't changed. The motivation of the Obama administration to prosecute has certainly changed. Medical studies and kind of medical advancements have slowly been creeping along, but because marijuana is a Schedule I drug, it's really very difficult to do any studies on whether or not it's effective.
I want to just get a little bit into what the Massachusetts law says. And again, I'm going to read from the email that we got from Christina Barbuto's attorneys. And they write, "The law is clear. The Massachusetts marijuana law specifies that any person meeting the requirements under the law shall not be penalized under Massachusetts law in any manner or denied any right or privilege for such actions." Is the law that clear? And it's funny because it's interesting because as I read this, they say shall not be penalized under Massachusetts law in any manner.
Right.
But as we mentioned, we're talking about federal law here.
Right, right.
So
I know.
This seems to be a tricky thing.
It is a tricky thing. And no, it's not at all clear. Yeah. I don't think this law is clear. First of all, Section 1 says the purpose and intent is that the citizens of Massachusetts intend that there should be no punishment under state law. Punishment, to me, implies criminal, not civil with private actors like an employee. The section that you were reading, shall not be penalized, again, that word, under Mass law in any manner or denied any right or privilege. A qualifying patient or caregiver shall not be subject to arrest or prosecution or civil penalty. I don't know what penalized means under Massachusetts law. Does it mean a criminal penalty? But then you have shall not be subject to arrest or prosecution or civil penalty. Does that mean the ticket you can get for possession of less than an ounce? Or does that mean losing your job? I think it's unclear. However, later on in the law, it's pretty clear that it says nothing in this law requires an accommodation of any on-site medical use in any place of employment. Nothing in this law supersedes Mass law prohibiting possession, cultivation, transportation. I mean, marijuana is still a controlled substance. And nothing in this law requires violation of the federal law or purports to give immunity under federal law.
Interesting.
So I think it's not clear.
It's not clear. So what about medical marijuana laws in other states that might have a little more clarity? What have you seen out there?
So there are about 8 states that I've looked at that have much more sort of interesting and specific clauses in their laws, of course, specifically about employment. So, for example, in Minnesota, Minnesota has a medical marijuana law that all of these laws prohibit using marijuana at work. And in my research, none of the plaintiffs have ever wanted to or claimed to have ever used it at work. So that's sort of, in my opinion, for most plaintiffs, a non-issue. Minnesota and 7 other states, there are anti-discrimination provisions in their laws. So while employers don't have to tolerate, you know, on-duty use, in Minnesota, for example, they cannot take an adverse employment action against any employee just because of their participation in the state medical marijuana program, unless doing so would violate federal law or cause the employer to lose money or licensing-related benefits. They also, in Minnesota specifically, if an employee tests positive for THC and they are enrolled legitimately in the Minnesota medical marijuana law, that employee has an opportunity to rebut the finding of the drug test. And there are sort of some parameters about various levels of THC. So it's a much more interactive process, on top of which there are anti-discrimination provisions. Arizona and Delaware have similar anti-discrimination provisions. Rhode Island does. Minnesota is the most complicated one that I found.
Interesting. Listeners, we want to hear from you. We're talking about the conflict between Massachusetts' medical marijuana law and the federal law that essentially says marijuana is illegal. It's a Schedule I drug. How are we going to work this out? Should medical pot users be protected by state law? How do we resolve this conflict? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. So let's go to Mike, who's calling from Bedford. Mike, you're on the air. Good to have you.
Hi, how are you? This goes back to the typical kind of federalism versus state rights. You know, gay marriage is one of those complicated issues that's taken 10 or 15 years to unravel, and hopefully will be in the next month or two. But I wanted to make a point about the lady when she was being interviewed. She said that she was somebody brought up the point about whether or not medical marijuana is okay. However, she also admitted that she had never had a drug test at work. So, you know, I'm a little confused as how it came up in conversation. And if she knew there was going to be a drug test, then certainly there's going to be a drug test, and that the person doing the interviewing typically doesn't have the power to say to her, which he didn't, it's okay.
Mm. Well, what she claimed, what Christina Barbuto told us, was she'd never had a drug test prior to the drug test given by this company. And she said that during the initial interview, she made very clear that she had a prescription for medical marijuana, and she was told that shouldn't be a problem. So I just wanted to clarify what she said. But Karina Chang, I mean, speak to Mike's issue. This is sort of one of these classic federalism versus states' rights cases.
Yeah, that's true. It's right. That's true. Many elected officials on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, sort of favor state treatment of this issue, which on many levels makes a lot of sense. The problem is, if it's still illegal under federal law, there's only so much that states can do. And other states, California, for example, in a case back from the late 90s, where a person was fired for the same exact reason, using medical marijuana, the dissent in that case said it can't be that voters meant for people to get fired for using medical marijuana. If we think that they should be allowed to use it, it can't be that we're forcing them to make this choice. And in terms of a state's rights issue, that's a very sort of local kind of value statement thing to make.
On the other hand, I mean, I see one of the problems with the state's rights argument is Advantage Sales and Marketing, if I understand correctly, they're based in California. I mean, they were doing business here in Massachusetts. But a company that's based out of state, I mean, does it make sense to rely on the federal statute if they're working across state lines?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yes, it does. And many of these state arguments, plaintiffs in states where medical marijuana is legal have lost their state arguments based on that one federal argument.
Hmm. Let's take a couple more calls. Kara is calling from Arlington. Kara, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a nurse. I just wanted to put, you know, my opinion out there. I've seen medical marijuana help lots of people. And I think that if people aren't using it on the job, then it's no different than somebody who is reasonably having, I mean, I hate to categorize it the same way, but, you know, if somebody's having, you know, a beer or two on the weekend, that's not an employer's business. If somebody is taking medication for diabetes or depression, that's not an employer's business. If somebody is taking a medication that is legal in their state, now I'm not a legal scholar and I can't, you know, reasonably discuss how, you know, the state and the federal differences and how this company should have reacted in Ms. Barbuto's case. But if A, the person is using medical marijuana for a medical reason, and B, they're using it responsibly and it's not interfering with their work, then it should absolutely not be an issue. And I feel very strongly about Ms. Barbuto's case, and I wish I had more, you know, any sway in this so that I could help advocate for her. But
well, Kara, I appreciate you putting your thoughts on the table. And my guess is a lot of people listening to this would agree with you. Massachusetts is a state that overwhelmingly approved the medical marijuana law. So my guess is what you just expressed is embraced by a lot of folks listening out there. Thanks for the call. Let's move on to John, who's calling from Boston. John, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make a point about the legality of marijuana under federal law. Marijuana has a variety of bioactive compounds known as cannabinoids. And as a matter of law, cannabinoids are legal under federal law in the form of Delta-9 THC, a synthetic form of Delta-9 THC known as Marinol. And it's routinely given to patients with cancer and other patients who suffer from nausea and appetite loss. So it's kind of a myth that marijuana is illegal under federal law. It's true that the plant is illegal, but cannabinoids have been approved for medical use. So I think there's a little bit of a disconnect in federal policy.
John, thanks for that. Cabrina Chang, do you want to comment on what John was talking about? It sounds like he's talking about marijuana that's prescribed as a liquid or cannabinoids that are prescribed
right.
as a liquid.
Well, the case law out there as the case law out there relies on marijuana being a Schedule One controlled substance. Mm-hmm. So if there's a disconnect, I don't know that the federal judges are on top of that disconnect then, because that's been sort of the standard precedent.
All right.
Maybe it's changing. I hope so.
Let's go to Laura, who's calling from Andover. Laura, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
So I have a coworker who has Crohn's disease, and she struggles with a lot of pain as well as appetite loss. And currently sometimes has to use prescription opiate drugs to manage that pain, which are much more addictive than marijuana. Also similarly impair judgment and ability to drive, so she still can't use those at work. But I guess I'm wondering if there is any reference to that distinction in current case law, you know, given that a lot of people, including my coworker, are considering getting medical marijuana licenses to manage pain rather than use addictive opiate substances. That was my question.
Well, Laura, I'm really grateful for that question. And Cabrina Chang, I mean, this gets to an irony in that if Ms. Barbuto had used a much stronger legal opioid, she would not have been fired.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the contradiction that the caller mentioned has been mentioned by courts, unfortunately, in dissenting opinions that, you know, there are other drugs out there that impair someone far more than marijuana, and there are over-the-counter, you know, allergy medications that create cognitive impairment and are treated much differently. So the contradiction absolutely is there.
Yeah.
And it has been mentioned in cases.
Well, where do you see this playing out? Because we heard from the caller previous to Laura talking about this classic federal versus states' rights, and we saw it happen in the gay marriage debate, and we're sort of very close, it seems, that federal law is finally going to catch up with state law. Is that how we resolve this, or is this a case where Massachusetts lawmakers kind of need to go back to the drawing board and clarify this law?
Well, it could go both ways, actually. I would love to see Massachusetts lawmakers go back and clarify this, especially if this is supposed to be, you know, a kind of community statement of this community about how we feel not only about medical marijuana, but about the patients who use it, that we would like them to be able to keep their jobs and obviously put some protection in there for employers. That would be great. I think fundamentally not much will change unless the Controlled Substances Act changes in a very clear manner. The caller who said that there are these other vehicles, inhaling and liquid and everything else, that are medically approved, if it doesn't change in a very sort of profound way to get rid of marijuana in Schedule One, states perhaps won't feel as free to make these changes. But also, even if Massachusetts made this change and it became a state, you know, perhaps the law became closer to Minnesota or Rhode Island or Delaware or, you know, pick one, would that put to rest this federal argument? Mm. The federal argument will always be out there.
Sure.
Which is...
Finally, I mean, we only have a few seconds left, but, you know, in thinking about Christina Barbuto's case, we mentioned that as far as we know, this is the first such case in Massachusetts or one of the first. It's probably not unreasonable to imagine that there will be more.
Mm. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And I wish her all the luck. This is a novel issue, which makes it interesting. I'm sure she wishes probably she weren't the one doing it. But that's what our courts are for, to tackle these issues. So I really wish her luck in getting the clarity that she wants from the Massachusetts law.
All right. Well, we're grateful for Christina Barbuto for coming in and telling her story. Cabrina Chang, joining me, is professor of associate professor of business law and ethics at Boston University, who's been thinking a lot about how employers handle medical marijuana. Cabrina Chang, thank you for coming in. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, thank you for your involvement. You can continue this conversation at radioboston.org. The debate continues. The conversation continues there. Stay with us. A lot more ahead. This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty.